word. Father, we do pray for your Spirit to fill our minds and hearts, give us that wisdom and illumination, understanding and grace that we need to truly hear what you have to say to us this morning. Father, preserve us from error. Keep us from just following our own thoughts, but enable us by your grace, by the presence of your Holy Spirit, to truly hear your words, to hear your voice as you speak through your word. We pray this in the name and for the glory of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. This morning we've read Matthew's account of the resurrection. The women come to the tomb and they find it empty. The angel says he is not here. He has risen just as he said. Go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. And then we read Peter's response of praise at this good news in his first letter, where he begins that letter saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." This is the Apostle Peter writing these words. One of the two men that the women went and got hold of. Peter, who was in the garden that night when Jesus was arrested. Peter, who tried to defend Jesus with a sword. Peter, who followed as they dragged Jesus away to be crucified. Peter knew that Jesus was dead. But now he comes to the tomb, and at the word of the women, looking to see what they saw, and finds that, in fact, Jesus has risen. And Peter thought long and hard about the events of those days, the days of Jesus' suffering in that first Easter morning. He knew from the Old Testament and from the prophets that they, too, had thought long and hard about the sufferings of Christ, the coming of Christ, and the glory of Christ. He says this, as we read it earlier in our service, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories." The sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. The humiliation of Christ and the exaltation of Christ. An Old Testament text that brings out these two themes in a prophetic way is Psalm 22. Last Sunday, we looked at the first 21 verses of this psalm, and we saw a picture of suffering. To David's suffering. David is enduring something terrible in his own life. We saw that it depicts our suffering. It's a prayer that we can use to express the pain that we feel when we feel abandoned by God, or despised by those around us, or surrounded by trouble. But it's a prayer that Jesus used. We know that from the gospel, from this very first verse of this psalm, that this is a psalm, a prayer that Jesus used to describe and to express the suffering that he was enduring, speaking prophetically in the psalm, and then Jesus taking the psalm up and using it as a prayer. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted, they trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. But at this point, there's this dramatic change in tone in the psalm. The suffering ceases and there's a shout of praise. Death gives way and the bright light of Easter begins to burst through the darkness and shines its light. Verse 22, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. And he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. It is finished. There's a shout of praise. By faith, the psalm looks out of the dust of death and to that bright light of resurrection, which has begun to shine. This morning, just five brief thoughts about the resurrection of Jesus suggested by this psalm. I don't expect you to remember these. They're written in the bulletin if you want to look at them afterwards, but perhaps there's one or two things here that you could get hold of, grab hold of this morning and take with you as you think about the resurrection of Jesus. First of all, the resurrection creates an attitude of praise. certainly did that for Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this resurrection, we've been given new life. David praises God in this psalm, verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And then he turns and he looks at us and calls us to praise God. Verse 23. You who fear the Lord, praise him. Praise means to express approval or appreciation. To praise God means that we find something just fascinating and attractive about God, and we want to say so. Our praise doesn't add anything to God. In fact, in many ways, when we praise God, it does more for us than it does for God. God deserves our praise, but it changes our attitude. Praise is something that we do to invite God into our suffering. David did this. Remember, this is a prayer of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? But then he says right at the beginning of this lament, this prayer in verse 3, yet you are holy, yet you are right in everything that you do, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Jesus used the same words when he was on the cross. Even when they felt that God had turned his back on them, they recognized that God deserves praise, and we're going to praise God. And in praising God, he becomes enthroned on their praises. It draws God into their existence and into their suffering. Praise is something we do that invites God into our suffering, and praise is something we do when God helps us out of our suffering. It's the right response to praise God. C.S. Lewis said that praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. Inner health made audible. When things are right inside, you're healthy, you're whole, everything is right, and it comes out of your mouth. People can hear it. That's praise. When things are right, praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We sing that every Sunday. We come in here, and whether you feel like it or not, we're going to sing that. Because God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. So even when you're having a bad day or a bad season in life, you praise God, and God is drawn into your suffering. And it's the right response. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even when things are not so well down here on earth. David looks forward to his deliverance in this psalm, and he praises God. Jesus looks forward to his resurrection, praises God. We look at the resurrection of Jesus, and it creates an attitude of praise that will change our attitudes. Secondly, the resurrection reminds us that God answers prayer. Verse 24. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. What made David's suffering even worse is that he was praying, but God wasn't answering. He wasn't hearing anything from God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Jesus wasn't getting answers to his prayers. On his knees, in the dark, in the garden, my Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. What if God had granted his request? What if God had answered that prayer at that point as it was expressed? That Jesus was spared the cross, immediately transported up into heaven, not having to suffer, what would become of us? There's no cross, no sacrifice, no cleansing, no forgiveness. Martin Luther said, sometimes we ask for silver when God wants to give us gold instead. We ask for one thing. We think it's good. This will be great. This is what I'm going to ask for, and I really want it. But it's just silver compared to what God has for us. Gold. So we ask for one thing. God doesn't answer by giving us that. He gives us something far better. With the resurrection of Jesus, we see that God does answer prayer, but in a way that is far exceeds what we would ever ask or imagine. Thirdly, the resurrection inspires a life of active service. What deflates a lot of people is that they work hard at something, they pour themselves into it, just to find that it comes to nothing. You know, people die. I'm going to die. What's the use of working so hard at this, whatever it is? David somehow is able to see through this, and he's thinking about other people and his own suffering and how it will eventually benefit other people. His close friends, for instance, verse 22, I will tell of your name to my brothers. Verse 25, his church, from you comes my praise in the great congregation. Believers everywhere, verse 27, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. Because of something that happened in David's experience, he recognizes this is eventually going to work. It's going to benefit somebody else. Jesus clearly saw through his own sufferings to the glories and the help that would be rendered to his friends. Paul clearly understood this. It's significant that he ends that longest chapter in his letter, first letter to the Corinthians, after he's argued so passionately about the resurrection, he ends that longest chapter of that book with a word about active service. You don't need to turn to this. The words, I think, are familiar. 1 Corinthians 15. But he says at the beginning of the chapter, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then as he argues about the resurrection all through this chapter, he comes toward the end. And he burst out into a song, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he adds one verse. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I mean, this is in the context of talking about the resurrection. People are dying. What happens to them? What about Jesus? Did he rise from the dead? And he ends this. This is the punchline, the bottom line to the chapter. Your labor is not in vain. The resurrection reminds us that what we do for Christ in this life is never wasted. Have you ever poured yourself into something in the name of Christ? You pour yourself out into some work, some ministry, some church, a friendship, your family, your children. You pour out tears and unceasing prayers, and it seems to come to nothing. Nothing to show for it. And yet God, who cannot lie, promises, in the Lord your labor is not in vain. It's only in the full light of the resurrection and of eternity we will see the great things that God has been doing through our faithful service. Fourth, the resurrection of Jesus nourishes our faith. Twice David mentions God's purpose, that you and I be fed. Verse 26, the afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. And then again in verse 29, all the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. You see yourself hungry. You see yourself empty. You see yourself in being afflicted, in trouble, suffering, weighed down with sin and with shame. But then you see Jesus, and he takes all of that onto himself. Your trouble, your suffering, your sin, your shame, and he fills you with his life. He suffers and dies in your place, but he doesn't stay dead. He is risen. He is alive. By faith, you pledge yourself to him. By God's Spirit, you are united to him. What happens to Jesus now happens to you. You are dead to sin, alive to righteousness, raised up into those heavenly places in Christ. It's the other half of that wonderful exchange that Martin Luther talks about. I mentioned last Sunday. It's the other side where you get this good things that come from Christ. Christ takes upon himself everything that is yours, your sin, God's wrath that you deserve, death, hell. And in place of that, you get Christ himself, his innocence, his righteousness, his life, heaven. With his resurrection, Jesus himself feeds our faith. He fills us, satisfies us, nourishes us, assures us that there is absolutely nothing that can come between us and him and all that he has for us. And then finally, number five, the resurrection fills us with hope. Peter said we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. This is a living hope for our life to come. Verse 26, the afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. It's just a glimmer of hope. May your hearts live forever. Something beyond death. We could go to other places in the Old Testament, but they are few in the Old Testament that speak of a life that's after this life. But here, David is uttering under the inspiration of the Spirit, may your hearts live forever. May you not just end face down in the dust and dead. But what was a faint glimmer of hope in David's day, on this side of Easter now, is the bright light shining. You can't miss the hope that is contained in his promise. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus, who cannot lie, promised, I go and prepare a place for you. Because I live, you also will live. Because of the resurrection, we believe in everlasting life and resurrected bodies and joy everlasting. We and all of our loved ones who have ever died in Christ will all be joined together. But this living hope is something that we are to enjoy in this life. It's not just something that we look forward to after this life, but it's something that we're to be living in even now. When my father was suffering from the advanced stages of his Parkinson's disease, it was a very depressing time. And then after his death in 1990, my mother would often mention how good it made her feel for us to bring our children over to her house. Gina, Jennifer, Erica, and Amanda. She said the presence of youth, silly laughing children being around the house, would restore her sense that good things are yet to come. You know, as you grow older, it seems like everything grows old with you. But the presence of new life, babies crying, the sound of young children, children playing, grandchildren, it serves to remind us that God is not finished with this world. Great things are yet to be done. This is part of our living hope, verses 30 and 31. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. A life of praise, answered prayer, active service, strong faith, a living hope. I don't expect you to remember those. They're in your bulletin. You can look at them later and look at the references. Can you get hold of one of these this morning as you think about and as you celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to see that something was done for you? There's something here of the riches that Christ has purchased through his suffering and makes available now to you because of his glory. This is the reality of God's grace for us this morning because of the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's pray. Father, we simply pray that you would impress upon our hearts that one word, that one thought this morning that represents some reality that flows out of the resurrection life of Jesus. That you would take that idea and that gift and so work it into our minds and hearts that we begin to be changed, sanctified by that word. And in this way, help us to live in the full light of the resurrection of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.